London. Good morning and welcome, everybody. I hope you feel very welcome. If it's your first time, I hope you feel welcome. And if it's your 100 millionth time, I hope you feel welcome as well. And please come and find me afterwards if it is your 100 millionth time, because you must be an interesting person to talk to. So Hebron Evangelical Church, this is where we are, and we hope you feel really welcomed as when you're here. If you are new, please feel free to introduce yourself to those around you. There's people with yellow labels on who can sort of direct you towards people and chat to you. But we hope if it is your first time, you really do feel a part of it, and that you don't feel sort of excluded from it. We want to be a family here as a church, and we want to welcome people into our family. We don't want to be a tight group, so we really hope you feel welcome. Hope you've got the impression there that we want you to feel welcome. Yeah? Is that got? Excellent stuff. So this morning is the summer services. They're slightly different than usual in the fact that they might be slightly shorter. It's always a dangerous thing at the start of a church service when someone says it's going to be shorter, because I think that sometimes guarantees it will run on. So it's potentially going to finish slightly earlier. There is no sort of kids events outside, because in the summer holidays we want to give those relentless members of volunteers that we have who work so hard with the kids and the workers as well, the employed workers, a bit of a chance just to have a breather. That doesn't mean to say that if your kid is absolutely screaming and is desperate to be out of here, you have to keep them in here. You can if you want. We don't mind. It's a family service. That's fine if you want to keep them in here. But if you want, there are rooms around where you can go. You can take them to creche, but you can't leave them there because there'll be no one to look after them and they'll get very bored. So you have to stay with them. So feel free just to kind of wander around within sort of reason within the church if you need to sort of settle down youngsters. I'm going to hand over to the band in a moment, and they're going to lead us in a time of musical worship. After that, Steve's going to come and speak to us, and we're going to close with another song after that, with some notices sort of sneaked in thereabouts. But before we start, let's pray. We believe here that God listens to us, and we believe that he listens to us all the time. But when we pray, we can ask God for the desires on our hearts. We can ask him for comfort, we can ask him for peace, we can ask him for to communicate with us as well. And this morning, as Steve is going to be coming to talk to us, we're going to ask that God will speak to us individually and teach us about his word. So let's pray. Lord God, thank you for this opportunity that you have given us to come and to sit and to take part in this church service, Lord. I thank you for the preparation that Steve's done, Lord, this morning, looking at the book of Malachi, Lord. And I pray that you would help us as we hear from Steve, that we would be challenged, Lord, that we would be sort of changed, Lord, even, Lord, that you would help us to be more like the person and people that you want us to be. I pray for distractions on our minds, Lord. It's perhaps been a busy week, perhaps it's going to be a busy day. We've got people coming back from holiday, people going away from holiday, we've got exam results and all sorts of things going on, Lord. But I pray that you would give a real atmosphere of peace in this room today, during this service, a time for people to just not worry about anything else, but just be here and be in this room and enjoy being in your presence, Lord. I pray this in your name. Amen. Thanks, band.
Good morning, everybody. It's great to hear Ethan making his presence felt there. Congratulations. It's wonderful, isn't it, to see him there this morning after his early arrival. It's a bank holiday weekend. We can tell that because there's quite a lot of empty seats. But one encouragement is that even though it's a bank holiday weekend, we've got a full band, which is fantastic, because I came this morning thinking, oh, I'm not quite sure who's going to be here, and we've got a full band, which is fantastic. So I think the music's going to be great this morning, even if we haven't got as many people as normal. So we're going to sing together three songs, but I just wanted to start with some verses from Isaiah, which fit into the words that we're going to be singing together in these next three songs. So who is like me? Who holds the candle to me, says the Holy? Look at the night skies. Who do you think made all of this? Who marches his army of stars out each night, counts them off, calls each by name? So magnificent, so powerful, and yet he never overlooks a single one. Why would you ever complain, O Jacob, or whine, Israel, saying, God has lost track of me. He doesn't care what happens to me. Don't you know anything? Haven't you been listening? God doesn't come and go. God lasts. is the creator of all you can see or imagine. He doesn't get tired out. He doesn't pause to catch his breath. And he knows everything, inside and out. He energizes those who are tired. He gives fresh strength to dropouts. For even young people tire and drop out. Young folk in their prime stumble and fall. But those who wait upon God get fresh strength. They spread their wings and soar like eagles. They run and don't get tired. They walk and don't lag behind. Let's worship together.
Thank you.
the words in these songs that remind us of your faithfulness, your strength, your power, your creation. Lord, to have the power over death. Lord, we just thank you for who you are. Thank you that you do not grow tired or weary, that you just are the I am. You are always the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, we remember our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world today who find themselves in very difficult circumstances as they worship you. Those who face persecution, those who face trials and tribulation, those who face physical needs as well as spiritual ones. Lord, we pray that we would... It's so difficult to know what to do, but we pray that you would show ways forward for us to support and to help in any way that we can. And Lord, that we would remember them as we celebrate and worship you in freedom this morning. Amen.
For that. little bit of feedback on CCYC. And rather than me doing it, I've asked one of the young people to come up. So Joel Slater kindly agreed. The poor, lovely, lovely man. As he gets a phone call on Friday afternoon, Joel, help me. So at any rate, mind this morning, we'll do it via questions and answers. So I was quickly writing down some questions. So we'll pass the mic, Joel, and you can tell the young people about CCYC and the adults because you were there and loved it. So it's a test of memory as well, isn't it? Because it was a long time ago. First off, what was the theme of the week?
The theme of the week was Mission Impossible. So it was all about basically God's impossible mission and how we play a part in that, basically. So that was the application in the teaching.
Super. What was your favorite activity?
Well, I have to say I only did one. so off-site anyway. So my favorite off-site activity, the only one I did, was climbing. So yeah.
Well, what kind of activities go on?
Well, you have all sorts of things off-site, like canoeing, what else is there? Viking boating, dragon boating, Keswick Spa. You go off to Keswick for a little shopping spree. You know, horse riding, yeah, there's one. Hmm? I don't think so. The ancient times. Yeah. And then you also have your on-site activities, like the quiz and the Bible sketch show, a personal highlight. Other things, you know, all sorts.
Super. Now, I understand they split them all into teams.
Yes.
Who won?
The winners were the team that were called X-Men.
Was that your team?
No.
Gutted. I went there. I went down for a day, and everyone says, we don't want the X-Men to win. They're winning, and they're not winning very well. So there's a lesson to learn there. Now, this is a test for you. I know every day they do memory verses. Can you remember any of them?
So I think there was 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, which was, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but of one of power, love, and self-control." I think that was it.
We're clapping, but Joel could have said any verse there.
16, yeah.
Now, this year you were an assistant tent leader for the first time, I believe. How was the transition, and how was it different from like being a regular goer?
To be honest, I think being an assistant tent leader is more like just being a camper with a red leader's shirt on. I mean, there is responsibility, which is, you know, a really good thing. And I think it's the fact that you actually have your own campers to look after as well. And the fact that, you know, because you're the assistant leader who's seen as the more like fun one, you know, you're often opened up more to like being asked all these questions by your campers. So, you know, it's, you know, quite a lot of questions were posed to me throughout the week, so that was definitely an interesting thing and something that was different to before. So yeah.
Super. Last question. Are you looking forward to going back next year?
Yep, definitely. I'll hopefully be a leader again. I mean, I don't want to regress back to camper because A, I'd be too old, and B, I don't think I'd be used to it anymore. But yeah, definitely looking forward to it.
Super. Thank you, Joel. That's very kind of you. Well done, Joel. You can have a seat and relax now. I thought I'd do one more thing when it was up here. You'll be aware, well, certainly families with young people will be aware that the past couple of weeks people have had GCSE results and A-level results and that kind of stuff. And I know how some of you got on, and I know, and I'll find out how some of us have got on. And sometimes they can be the best thing in the world this week for the best week of your life, and sometimes they can feel like the worst week of your life, depending on how you got on. But when Phil was talking about family, and as a church family, as a church family, the Bible tells us when we rejoice together. And when we're disappointed together. So whatever happened in your results, be encouraged that people around you, people love you and people will support you. And God will find a way through, whatever it is. And sometimes good results make it clear the way forward. And sometimes good results mean you've got more decisions to make about what you're going to do and where you're going to go. But for all of us, I thought I just wanted to read a promise from the Bible, which will apply to all of us at some point during this year. So just remember these verses. It's Psalm 121. "I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Thanks, Phil.
Just going to hand over to the band now. The band are going to we're going to sing one song together, and then we're going to hand over to Steve, and Steve's going to come and speak to us. So over to you, band. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I was thinking a bit the same as Brian. I was thinking about the last couple of weeks. Obviously, exam results have been quite a major part of our household in the last couple of weeks, and good friends of ours. And I was thinking the same thing. You know, exam results only measure one part of who you are. That's the academic side, and it doesn't really measure lots of other parts that are just as important, if not more important, as you get older and life goes on. And I read this in my devotions this week, and I thought it might be an encouragement. It says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind," says the Lord. In other words, you shall love God with everything you have and everything you are. Everything. Every longing, every endowment, each of your intellectual gifts, any athletic talent or computer skill, all capacity for delight, every good thing that has your fingerprints on it. Take all of this, says Jesus, and refer it to God. Take your longing and long for God. Take your creaturely riches and endow God. Take your eye for beauty and appreciate God. With your heart and soul and mind, with all your needs and splendors, make a full turn towards God. I thought they were beautiful words. Let's sing together.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Our passage this morning is from Malachi chapter 2, going into chapter 3, and it starts Malachi 2, verse 17. Let's just take a minute to read it together. And after that, I am going to need, again, the boys and girls' help so that we can together help the adults understand and hopefully understand ourselves. But let's read the passage first. So it's Malachi chapter 2, starting at verse 17. You have wearied the Lord with your words, but you say, how have we wearied him? By saying everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them, or by asking, where is the God of justice? Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord, whom you seek, will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, and they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old, as in the former years. Then I will draw near to you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppress the hired workers in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, against those who thrust aside the sojourner and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. And Heavenly Father, we do just want to praise you for your greatness. We thank you, Father, that you have given us your words, and that it teaches us, that it helps us to live lives that honor and glorify you. And we pray for your Spirit's help now as we come to this passage. Teach us from it. Change us by it. Help us to live just a bit more like Jesus. We pray all of this in your name. Amen. So I invite the boys and girls to come down to the front if they want to. That would be really good if you want to come down. Nobody wants to come down? Okay. I'm going to come and sit here anyway. While you're coming down, I want you to think. So, when Phil was doing the announcements, he mentioned something that was happening next week. Does anybody know what that something is? It's happening next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And the reason why I'm... Yeah? Yes, well done. The Holiday Club is happening next week. Starts on Tuesday, and it's going to be really exciting. I'm really looking forward to it. We're going to be looking at the story of Joseph. You know Joseph, the guy with the coat that had all the different colors in it? We're going to be looking at the story about him. We're going to be doing, there's going to be some drama. There's going to be some games. There's going to be some craft. There's going to be some music. And there's going to be lots of silliness, really. It's going to be really fun. And if you're here, what I want you to do is, if you haven't already, ask your parents if it's okay if you can come along. In fact, I give you permission to pester your parents until they let you come along. Okay, now back to today. Hands up, adults as well, hands up if you've ever really, really, really wanted something for your birthday. Let's see. Okay, excellent. Now, do you do this? But whenever I really want something for my birthday, what I do is I drop some hints to my parents or to my wife or to my if I have grandparents or auntie or uncle, whoever. You drop some hints to say, this is the present I want. And then you're sure that on the day, they've picked these hints up and they're going to give you exactly what you want. And your birthday comes, and you get this present, and it looks about the right size, the right shape, the right weight. But then you open it up, and guess what? It's not the present that you're waiting for. Now, one of two things can happen, because either the present that you've got in front of you is better than the thing that you wanted, so you're happy, or you can be a bit disappointed, can't you? Now, when we've been looking at Malachi over the last couple of weeks, and we've been looking at how God tells Malachi about some of the problems that Israel have, and Malachi tells Israel, so they weren't sacrificing properly in the temple. Do you remember a couple of weeks ago we talked about how they weren't teaching, the priests weren't teaching the people properly. Last week we found out that they weren't marrying the people that they should have been marrying. But what we find out today is the problem, which is really the cause of all these other problems. You see, Israel have become a bit disappointed by God. You see, they've been having this really exciting time in Israel. So they come back into Jerusalem again after years away in captivity. And they come back in to Jerusalem and they built the walls up again. They built the temple up and they were waiting for someone that they called the Messiah. Has anyone ever heard that word before, Messiah? No. Well, Messiah, it basically means savior or rescuer. And that's what they were waiting for. They were waiting for someone to come and rescue them from the Persians. But guess what had happened up until this point in Malachi's day? Guess what happened? Nothing. Nothing had happened. There was no Messiah to be seen. And Israel were getting disappointed. They were getting a bit impatient. They were saying, does God even care? Does he even care about us? Does he even care if we do good or do evil? Is he ever going to come and free us from captivity? And that was where they were at. And that was the cause, really, of lots of these problems that they were having. Now, think again about your birthday present, right? Have you ever had a surprise for your birthday? Has anyone ever had a surprise? Adults, anyone ever had a surprise for their birthday? Yes, a few people have. Good. Well, I got a surprise for my birthday whenever I was 3. Okay, so it had some presents from my mum and my dad, and I thought, oh, this is great. I've got a few little presents. But then there wasn't anything really very big. But I wasn't disappointed. I was happy enough. But anyway, later on that day, my mum came in and she said, Stephen, there's someone at the door for you. So I ran to the door. I opened the door, and what was before me was this, I don't know how to describe it, it was like a tractor trike. So it was like a toy tractor that you could sit on and pedal, complete with this red trailer, and it was such a good present. Me and my brother loved that for years. But anyway, I was really surprised by this present, probably more so by the fact that the postman had brought me a better present than my parents had. And also that he hadn't stayed around to say happy birthday to me. And it took me years to kind of work out that actually what my mom had done was she'd opened the garage door and brought this out and then come back in, closed the door, came in through the back door and told me to go and see who was at the front door. But anyway, the point is I was really surprised. And Israel, in our passage, we're about to be really surprised by God as well. Because he tells them about his coming, about the Messiah's coming. And he tells them what the Messiah is going to do. But the first two things actually aren't that surprising at all. Because you read this in verse 1. He says, behold, I send a messenger and he will prepare the way before me. Now, this was just what kings did in that day. So if a king was going to go to another place, he would send someone ahead of him to kind of announce that he was coming and to make sure that the way was safe for the king to travel. It's a bit like if you've ever been to a wedding and at the reception, you go into the reception, you sit down and you're eagerly awaiting the food that you're going to have because you're really hungry because you haven't had lunch. And you're sitting there, you're waiting, and then the master of ceremonies, he comes in and he stands up and he says, please be upstanding for the bride and groom, the new Mr. and Mrs., whoever it is. And then the bride and groom come in and everyone cheers and shouts and all that sort of stuff. And then you get to eat your food, which is brilliant. But it's kind of like that. It's an announcement like that. Or if you've ever seen an old film where there's a big house and there's a butler and someone comes to the door, and the butler will go into the room where the people who live there are, and he'll say, introducing whoever the person is who's called at the door, and then he'll come in. So that's kind of the idea that's going on. And Israel wouldn't have been surprised by that. And the second thing Israel wouldn't be surprised about was what the Messiah, what God was going to do. Because it says in verse 2 that he's going to be like a refiner's fire, like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soup. Now, have you ever eaten with a silver spoon before? Well, silver spoon, whenever they make a silver spoon, what they have to do is they take the silver, the big lump of silver, and they have to heat it up to a really high temperature so that they can take a bit away the bits which aren't silver, they're something else. And this process is called, they take out the impurities. It's called purifying the silver. And that's what God is going to do when he comes. That's what he tells Malachi and what Malachi tells Israel. When he comes, he's going to purify the world. And it's the same sort of idea with fuller's soap. A fuller was someone who worked with material, and he had this soap which was really strong and basically made the material really clean. It's all about purification. But what would have been really surprising to Israel was the people who he was going to come and purify. Because it says this in verse 3. He will sit as a refiner's fire, a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, and they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. So the people who he was going to come and purify wasn't necessarily the Persians outside. It was the sons of Levi. The priests were the people who God needed to come and purify. And the priests didn't think they were doing anything wrong. They would have been really shocked by this. Now, who here has a pet? Do any of you have a pet? No? Anyone in the... Any of the adults have pets? Yeah, we've got some pets. Good. Does anyone have a dog? Okay, some people have dogs. Great. Well, I used to have a dog until about 2 years ago, and my dog actually, she died of old age, which is a bit sad. But anyway, I got my dog when I was 10, and I named her after my sporting hero at the time. Still is really my sporting hero, David Beckham. So I called my dog was called Becky, okay? And Becky was a really good dog, but from time to time, Becky would get a bit smelly, and she'd get a bit dirty. And do you know what happened when she got smelly and dirty? We had to give her a bath. And Becky hated baths. I mean, she hated baths. We used to have to put the lid on Becky and then put it underneath the seat and sit on the seat so she wouldn't run away whenever we were cleaning her. But as we were washing her as well, she would look at you with the saddest eyes imaginable. And then she'd start to whimper a little bit like this. She'd be like, as you washed her, it would break your heart to wash her, but ultimately, when she'd shook herself dry, usually all over you, but when she'd shook herself dry, she was beautiful and clean, and she didn't smell bad anymore. So although Becky really didn't like it, and this cleaning process was not very nice for her, ultimately it was for her good, because she smelled good, and she looked nice at the end. And that's what God tells Israel through Malachi here about the cleaning process. So when the priests are going to be purified, when he comes to purify the priests, it's going to be not very nice. They're not going to like it very much. But ultimately, it's going to be for their good, because they'll be able to offer sacrifices properly again. And actually, all of Israel will benefit from it too, because they'll be able to bring their offerings to God, and the priests will be doing it properly for them as well. Now, do you know that we are really fortunate to live when we do? Because we actually live in a time after this prophecy has come true. Does anyone think they know how God has come to purify? Does anyone know? Have a think. No. Who do you think he might have sent to purify? No? Well, he sent Jesus. So this prophecy is actually about Jesus, because Jesus has come to this earth to purify, to make clean all of us. Does anyone know how he made us clean? Dying on the cross. Exactly. Now, do you think dying on the cross was nice? No, it's really awful, isn't it? It's actually probably the most awful way a person could die. But Jesus did that for us. So ultimately, the pain that Jesus went through, all that suffering that he suffered, it was for our benefit, because he's made us clean by it. And you know, if we trust him, if we go to him and say, I'm sorry, Lord, I need your help to live well. I need you to clean me, to purify me. If we do that, God will do that for us. And he can do it for us now. And all we need to do is ask. And if that's you, you can talk to your parents about it on the way home. And they'll be delighted, I'm sure, to help you. But it's not just for you guys, it's for anyone who doesn't know that purification, who doesn't know that cleansing that God offers. All we have to do is go to him and ask. There's no sin too big that he can't deal with it. And there's an amazing verse in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Which tells us this. It says this: and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. Now, purifying and this cleaning that God does in us, it doesn't stop with Jesus at the cross. He continues to clean us and to cleanse us and to make us more into more like Jesus. And he does this by his Spirit. And sometimes that can be painful for us as well. Sometimes that's really hard. And this verse that I've just read out from Romans 8, sometimes it's really hard for us all to believe that actually God is using these things for our good. And whenever it's hard for us to believe, what we need to do really is to look back at all the other promises that God and tells us in his Bible that have come true, and see that he is faithful to his promises and that he's going to be faithful to this one as well. And then the last thing that this passage tells us is about a time when God is going to come again, and this time he's going to come to judge the world. And what we see is that that's really scary for anyone who doesn't know Jesus. But for those who do know Jesus, it's actually the most exciting time ever. Because whenever he comes back again, he's going to make the world completely clean. There's not going to be any bad things anymore. All of it will be gone, and the world will be perfect. And then we'll get to live with him forever in this perfect world. So Jesus coming that first time for us has made this second time. Jesus coming this first time is the greatest act of mercy that we could ever know. So what he's done the first time means that the second time can be amazing for us. Something that we're not scared of, but something that we actually look forward to. Something which helps us to get through those difficult times that we have in our lives. So let me just summarize. So Jesus has come to purify us. And he's done that by dying on the cross. And he offers it to us. All we have to do is trust him. And we will be pure in his eyes. But then purification is also a process which happens. We're transformed. We're made into Christ's likeness. And that is ultimately for our benefit, though it can be really quite unpleasant sometimes. And thirdly, Jesus coming again is not something that we need to fear if we knew him, but but it's something that we can long for, something that can help us to live day to day. So let me just pray, and then I think we'll probably be singing again. Yeah. And then our service will be over. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege that it is to live when we do, in a time when you have come, when you have offered purification to this world. We thank you, Father, that all we need to do is trust you for it, and we receive it. We thank you, Father, that you don't leave us the way that we are, but you change us and you make us look more like Jesus. And we pray, Father, that you would do that in our lives. We pray for the things that hold us back, Lord, from being transformed. We pray that we would surrender them to you. And Father, we pray that you would help us to live waiting, longing for the day that you will come again and you will make this world new. And we pray for all of this in your name. Amen. Thanks for listening, guys. You did really well.